Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh, is daf Samach Vav. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Samach He Amud Beit. So now that we've been talking up until now about the various dinim of shlichim and the lashon of shlichut and what exactly the hakpadot are and the various types of shluchim, shliach lekabbalah, shliach lehalacha, the male shliach, the female shliach. The question arises whether there are ever situations in which the understanding of the nature of the shlichut is built in to the situation, meaning that we can utilize an umdana to create the shlichut. Up until now, we've been very careful about precisely what it was that the shliach was told to do and defining what precisely that means. But we still may have situations where the situation sheds light on the meaning. So, originally it was quite clear that Rishonah Hayu Omrim Hayotze Bekolah Ma'amar Kitvu Get Li'ishti. Somebody is being dragged away to his execution, and he knows he's not going to make it, and therefore he's in a very agitated state, and he shouts out or tells somebody, write a get for my wife. Those people that he spoke to, even though he never said, give the get to my wife, it's quite clear that that was the whole point. And therefore, they write the get and give the get. Then they expanded that to include other situations of agitation, even though they're nowhere near as frightening as actually being dragged away to the Lord High Executioner, that even a mefarish, somebody who's about to go on an ocean journey, or a Yotzei B'Shayara, who's going out on a caravan through the desert, and there was very high rate of attrition and these kind of things. And that's also considered to be enough of a state of agitation and a clarity about what the intent was. I mean, why in the world is this guy saying to write a get just because he's now getting onto his caravan? Obviously, he wants him to give the get so that his wife should not be left in a state of doubt about what has happened to him, or that she should be patura from Yibum in the event that they have no children. And then Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, he says, not only that, but even somebody who is in a matzav of sakana, and he's unwell, and he's worried that his illness may suddenly take a turn for the worse, and that he won't make it, even that, in the state of illness, is sufficient, if it's dangerous, for us to justify giving the get, despite the fact that he never said give it. He just said write it. You understand, writing includes giving. Getting back to Geneva. And so Geneva, you recall, got into these fights with Marukva. Marukva was told not to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove Geneva from the scene, but rather, Dom La Hashem Vitcholelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. You don't have to complain about him. Sure enough, Geneva was taken away to be executed. On his way to execution, he said, Ki avinafi kamar, havu arba mea zuzi l'Rabbi Avina, michamra denahar panya. Give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina from the wine that I have in nahar panya. So Rabbi Zera said, you know what? I would sincerely recommend to Rav Avina, to draw Rabbi Avina Lasilte, Yazul Gabi the Ravuna Rabbi. If Ravina wants to get that money, that's a lot of money, he should put his little basket on his shemini, take your backpack, and get on the road, honey. Go and visit your Rebbe, Ravuna, because according to Ravuna, this is a perfectly valid gift. What's the problem? The problem is like this. Normally speaking, we have a din, remember, of a shchiv mirah. Shchiv mirah is somebody who's on the verge of death, he's very sick, and we know that a shchiv mirah, dvarav, are as if they're ktuvim v'chatumim, he doesn't need to make any kinyanim, and whatever he says is chal. But that's not exactly what happened over here. So is that particular halacha, that a shchiv mirah can give away something, also applicable to cases like this, where somebody's been dragged away to execution, and did not transfer necessarily everything that he owns. If a guy is giving away everything that he owns, so then we understand that that is meant as a final will and testament. He's got nothing to come back to. And he obviously thinks he's finished. I mean, how does a person not leave himself 10 cents? It must be that he's being mitzvah makamas misa. But in this case, Gneva just said, give $400. But according to Rav Huna, since Rav Huna said, and that's why I'm telling Rav Avina to go to Rav Huna to pask him what the din is, here, where Gneva just told him, take these $400, he learned that gito kematanato, that when it comes to the get of a shriv mira, or this is exactly the same as giving a gift. So just like matanato, ima matrozer, if a shriv mira gave all his things away, and then he recovers, so then we take for granted that, of course, he keeps his property, because he was giving it only because he was mitzvah machmas misa. Now, that has nothing to do with our case, but I want to explain to you why I think that has massive implications for our case. Because I would say, let's take Rav Huna's logic one step further, says Rabbi Zera, right? He's saying that basically a matana and a get can be seen as being part of the same set of issues of determining what it was that the giver intended. Okay. So then let's take the next step. Is it not true that when it comes to a get, afagav de lo parish, we just had in this Mishnah, the guy never said to give the get. All he said was to write the get. But nonetheless, afagav de lo amartnu, we would still give it. Why? Because we take for granted that the situation is the man is agitated. He wants the get to be given. The only reason he wrote, asked to get to be written was because of the fact that he wants to save his wife from Yibum or from Igun. So therefore, let's apply that to over here. We see that we can take for granted the tzivui of Tenu. Okay. So then Matana, I say, is exactly the same thing. In this case, Gneva left out a very important thing. He did not say, be kene, as an act of zechia for Rabbi Avina. Well, okay, that's the same as the Baal HaGet not saying give the get. Obviously, he meant to give the get. So if Gneva said to give this money to Rabbi Avina, and he knows that he's not going to make it and that he's about to be killed, so then afagav de lo kono miyade should be exactly the same. They didn't do a kinyan. Why would they have needed a kinyan? Because he didn't give away everything, right? So we normally would have needed a kinyan. But in this case, it is the equivalent of actually giving something, and it's as if the matana was an absolute, as if there was a kinyan. So if gittin and matanas are the same, then this should be okay. You could take that money from the wine. Matke for Rebabina, wait a minute. What kind of comparison? I don't understand. I mean, let me reductio ad absurdum this thing, okay? You're saying that a matana and a get are the same, so by the same token, you could say the following nonsense, that ima matana yeshala achar misa, so just like we can give this money away of Gneva after his death, so you're going to say, okay, so we could give a get. If the guy said to write a get, let's give the get le'achamisa. I mean, that's insane. Of course, you can't give the get le'achamisa. So obviously, Rav Huna never meant to say that they're going to be exactly the same. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. What does that have to do with Rav Zira? Achi Ashta, that is not comparable. I'm sorry. Bishlam matana ita le'achamita. Get le'achamita mi'ika. That is something in which the comparison is nonsensical. You cannot give a get li'achamisa. That's not a question about what his intent was. That's a question of what is achievable. Gittim require the das at the time of the megarish. He's dead. How can you give a get if he's dead? But what does that have to do with the matana? The matana can be delivered li'achamisa. That's all we need to do. So that's not a question at all. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit of a childish kind of question. How could Rav have asked a question like that? You're right. That's stupid. Rabava, I'll tell you what Rabava's question was about this idea of Gittin being Matana, being part of the same set. Here's what his problem was. He was thinking like this. Even assuming that Geneva, what you're trying to say is, this is what we understood, what you're trying to say is that Geneva was the same, because he was being Yotzei B'Kolar, he's the same as a Shchiv Meira, right? But what's the din of a Shchiv Meira that only gives part of what he owns away? Then we say that you need a Kenyan. So even if we admit that Geneva, you're 100% right, Yotzei B'Kolar is exactly the same as a Shchiv Meira, but what's the din of a Shchiv Meira who gives away $400? You still need a Kenyan. So it's only a matna shchiv meira b'miktzat, and a matna shchiv meira b'miktzat by a kinyan. And he didn't make a kinyan. So I don't understand what the point is over here. What good is it to say, well, it's exactly the same? It is, except in terms of the dinam of shchiv meira, he did not indicate that he was actually being mitzava over here because of his death. Wait, excuse me. Are you trying to say that Rav Huna holds Loboy Kenyan? Obviously, Rav Huna took that into consideration, because clearly it's a psak that everybody has now. And the Gemara came to the conclusion in Bab Metzia that Kaimel on the Boy Kenyan, that you absolutely, if the Mitzava is not Mitzava, giving away all of his properties, then he intends to have something left for himself if he survives. So then he's on a Mitzava Misa, Machmas Misa. So Rav Huna knows that. So what do you think that we were talking about over here in making this comparison to Rav Huna's din? Shinei hacha, there's a difference between Geneva. That's the whole point. You missed the point. We weren't just saying that the fact that he's being dragged out to execution gives him the din of a Shchiv Meira. We were saying that being dragged out to execution is the equivalent of Mitzaveh Machmat Mita. When we know for a fact, remember, the reason that the Shchiv Meira, it makes a difference if he kept something for himself back or not. The reason it makes that difference is because if he keeps something back for himself, it means he's not sure he's going to die, right? That's the point. But over here, if I'm telling you that a Yotzei B'Kolar is the equivalent of the cases, of the other cases in the Mishnah, where somebody's a Mesukan, he's a Chola, and so on, so then that obviously is because he knows he ain't coming back. That Lord High Executioner is going to look at him and say, oh, what a pretty neck. I can't do this. You know, he knows he's finito. So if that's the case, then this is not just a Shchiv Meira. This is a 100% Mitzaveh Machmat Mita. A Mitzaveh Machmat Mita is the ultimate din of Shchiv Meira. Everything that he says, even if it's Miktsas, is also considered to be an absolute gift. So obviously Rav Huna wouldn't have said this if somebody stomped, who's sick, very sick. I understand, but he still has hope. But a guy who's about to have his head cut off does not have hope. So therefore, he said to him, according to Rav Huna, this is the equivalent of a Mitzaveh Machmas Misa. Geneva gave you this, and you get that money. So I don't understand. What do you think, that Rav Abba is stupid? No, I mean, we're running back and forth over here like a ping pong game. I mean, you're saying either Rav Abba is stupid or a Bezira. I said, but come on. If this is what Rav Abba really thought, that this is not a Mitzaveh Machmas Misa. Rav Abba really thought that a guy who's about to have his head cut off is considered to be only a Shchiv Meira, not an immediate Mitzaveh Machmas Misa. Does he hold that a Mitzaveh Machmas Misa needs a Kenyan? The Gemara comes out clearly, everybody in the end, Hilchasa, that Loboy Kenyan. So what the heck is going on? What did that isn't what Rav Abba asked either. So what do you think Rav Abba asked? I'll tell you. Reasonable, this is what Rav Abba said. El Rav Abba Halki Kakashali. Rav Abba did not understand the case to be a valid gift at all because of the way it was phrased. So he was saying to Rabbi Zera, what does this have to do with the Psak of Rav Huna about a Mitzaveh Machmas Misa? What Geneva said was ridiculous. What did he say? Did Geneva say, give Rav Avina wine worth 400 zuz? No. Chamra lo karma. He didn't say give him wine. Did he say give him the value from the wine, sell the wine and give him 400 zuz. No, he did not. What he said was something absurd. He said, make him 400 zuz out of wine. Now, listen here, Rumpelstiltskin. If you can do that, you're pretty darn good. But I don't know how to make 400 zuz out of wine, okay? So it was a ridiculous thing. There is no such gift. That's all he's saying. He said, mechamra, and there's no meaning to that at all. Mechamra. Well, so what did Rav Huna understand? Rav Huna said, no. Listen here. Kenev is a big Talmud Chacham. He's not playing games. Basically, he was afraid that his heirs would challenge the gift, right? So he figured like this. If he says, give wine worth 400 zuz, and that wine, some of that wine turns sour, let's say, right? So he's got a big wine cellar up there in Arpakon. So then his heirs are going to say, well, Rav Avina, yeah, we set this wine aside for you. It all turned sour. We're really sorry. You know, I mean, if you'd like some old vinegar, we're happy to send it to you if you pay the transportation. So that wouldn't be any good. Suppose they sold the wine and put it in an envelope, and the envelope was stolen. They'll say, sorry, Rav Avina, it was your wine that was stolen. So he doesn't want Rav Avina to suffer. So therefore, what he does is he says, I want all of this wine as the backup for those 400 zuz. I don't give a hang how you get it. You sell the wine, you give him the wine, but it's all there for him. And if in the end you got to use up all this wine for him, then you're going to have to use up all this wine for him. So don't start paying shtick with what part of the wine turned into vinegar, anything like that. That's all he meant to say. And the reason that he said this funny language, mechamra, is what he was saying is, this wine is the backup. Kedei liyapot et kocho. He wanted to give Rav Avina all of the options of getting this 400 zuz. So he said it in order to make his position more powerful. And indeed, shochu mitam, they sent the shayla to Eretz Yisrael. What does this language mean? Mechamra, weird language. And the tshuva came, mechamra would only be meant as back up his claims with all of this wine. And it's kedei liyapot et kocho. We are missing our kapitan. This is not good. And we're missing our backup duck. Akiva, I hold you personally responsible. Things are falling apart in Joburg. It's time to make a phone call to our dear Big N and to our dear Lion Cub and to our very own duck. And if somebody starts docking them, then they're going to start showing up on time. What do you say? It's merely a phone call away. All right, I shall do the honors. Zok the Halakha Mishnah while Akiva makes his calls. Mi shaya mushlach labor. Someone seems to have been thrown into a pit. I don't know, maybe robbers thrown, maybe fell into a well, whatever it is. And we hear him shouting, Kol ha-shomea et kolo yichtov get li-ishto. He gives his serial number, his name, the name of his wife. He tells you, I need you to write a get for me of name such and such, and for a woman of such and such. And whoever hears this, they should indeed write that get and deliver that get. Haredo yichtavu v'yitnu, because this is the same as that situation, except it's even more of a chiddush, because we don't know the guy in the bar. We don't know that he's telling the truth. As a matter of fact, we don't even know that he's human. What makes us think that somebody didn't stick an AI down there who's trying to mess up humanity by giving phony git him? I am right. So how do we know of Alech Hashem HaShedu? Maybe this is, in those days they used to call AIs demons. So maybe it's a demon. How do you know that it's a human at all? Demons cannot give a get. Amar Rav Yehuda, no, we saw that there's a shape of a human being there. I mean, it's not an alien. Oh, come on, man. You ain't ever seen androids. What, you think these AIs don't look like humans or little doggies or whatever? So they can be whatever you want to make them into. So Shadim can look like people. Yes, but I saw they had a shadow. Demons don't have a shadow. Yes, they do. Inunami Islibavua. Sure, they have shadows. Yes, but they don't have shadows of shadows, as we've pointed out. Too much computer resolution. And therefore, it couldn't be a demon. It must be something in what we call the real world. Are you sure about that? Maybe they have improved the algorithms. Maybe they have shadows of shadows, too. You know, computer resolution is always getting better. Omar Rabbi Hanina, I can tell them that Limdani, Yonatan, I don't know whether this is Yonatan the Shade, but he says it's my son, Yonatan. They may have a shadow, but they definitely don't have the shadow of a shadow. Ah, but I know of a different kind of demon. It's called a Sora, which is a co-wife, who's very interested in getting rid of wife number two. She even heard her husband call her wife number one. That did it. So she made up her mind that she's getting rid of this woman. So what does she do? Puts on a little outfit, climbs down into a pit. Anybody who hears my voice, it is me, please give it. And they give a get to this woman, who then goes and promptly gets married to someone else. And then the husband shows up, and now they have to get divorced. And suddenly wife number two becomes my one and only. So how do you know? Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, come on, guys. What are the chances? I mean, let's talk about this seriously. It's a demon, it's an AI, it's an alien, I understand that when you have time to fool around, you can take all of this into consideration, okay? So, very good. But this guy's at the bottom of a pit. We may have a 10-minute window to write this get. It's all very nice for you to fool around with these possibilities when you've got all the time in the world. But right now, this woman is going to be left without a get and either requiring Yibum or not really knowing what happened. And you can't do that to her because of these ridiculous kind of issues. So Bisha'ata Sakana, when you've got, this is a last chance, in extremis, the halacha is that Kotvim V'notnim Afo Pisha Ein Makirim, because this is our last chance. Im lo achshav, ematai. And therefore, all of this is just nothing to worry about. There's interesting machlokas, by the way, Rishonim, about, does this mean all of the above is ridiculous, or does it mean only the chashash that it's at Sora? Do we still need to make sure that the computer resolution isn't too, I mean, the Rambam just doesn't bring up anything. But of course, the Rambam doesn't hold very much of Shadim, so. Okay. Anyway, so therefore we're not worried about this. Now, Akiva has not done a very good job on these telephone calls, but we do have the lion cub hiding there behind his master's voice. So, oh, that's something. Maybe he'd be willing to get Doc onto the scene. I don't know. He seems to have low fidelity on that. Gosh.
This sounds like a call for tryout.
Woof, woof. Okay, Zucker the commissioner. Where's the big N? How come his master's voice is not having any impact here? Man, I'm telling you, looks like I'm going to have to take a little trip. Habarisha Amar, kitfu get li ishti. How about somebody who is healthy? And he says, write a get. He doesn't say deliver the get. That doesn't mean anything. You can't deliver that get without indication. I mean, for all you know, he wants the word to get to his wife that he's thinking about divorce, you know? Maybe trying to scare her into behaving herself. I don't know, but it could be Ratza L'Sachek Baba. Certainly without any kind of indication that this is an umden and it's meant to be delivered, of course you can't deliver the get. Now, there was once a Maisa of a Bori. He was perfectly healthy. He says, write a get for my wife, goes up to the roof, and falls off and dies. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, look, I mean, This is called Sofo Megalel Tchilato. Obviously, the guy was planning suicide. So, I mean, suicide is just as much of a terminal situation as being at the bottom of a pit. This is a pit. It's a different kind of pit, but it's a pit. And therefore, he's in the pits. So being in the pits should be exactly the same as the Mishnah before of being in a pit, right? And therefore, Taina's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, look, I mean, if there's grounds that something might have happened, this is just a coincidence, you know, he was, I don't know, blown off the roof by a sudden gust. Okay. But if not, then you have to assume that he wanted that get delivered because he knew he was about to die. But now, wait a minute. The Maisa Listor, I mean, the Mishnah says, Maisa Babori Echad, after saying that if a Bori says, Kitvu Get Leishti, we don't. And then you bring a case where we do. I mean, don't you think you should have introduced the case with the halacha? The Mishnah doesn't bring cases that contradict the overall general statement. You're right. There's a little piece missing from this Mishnah, which obviously you can easily provide. If in the end we recognize that at the time that he made that statement of Kitvu Get, and they had given it, then Hareza Get. Umasenani, and we have a backup halacha lemaisa about this. A Bori Shama Kitvu Get Liishti went up to the top of the roof, fell off the roof and died, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, look, if he fell off without any obvious cause, then he jumped off. And the statement before is connected to his immediate death. And therefore, if they had given that get, then that get would be kosher. If something happened that pushed him off, we can't make that absolute assumption. So, ima ruach tachato, then eino get. There was another maisa where a guy comes into a shul, and he sees there's the Rebbe of the kids in the shul, who's sitting there together with his own son, and a third person was sitting by them. And this guy who had walked in, he said, do two of you please write a get for my wife? Now, this guy, meanwhile, disappears. And in the end, before they wrote the get, the Rebbe of the Cheder kids had a heart attack. So now we're left with two out of the three people. So this is a further question of how do we understand the minui of a shliach. Remember, up until now we've been talking about what type of shliach, who can be mamana the shliach, what is the language of the minui of the shliach. Now we're talking about situations in which we need to understand what the meaning was in context of the situation of the minui of the shliach. This is a further contextual question. Here, the contextual question revolves around a person who is a Talmud Chacham, it's a respectable person, he's a teacher, and he's sitting with his son. Would an individual who walked in address the son as an equal to the father? Or when he said two of you, he meant that I wouldn't want to insult anybody and specifically say that I mean the rabbi and this other guy, but he certainly did not mean to give the kid that's sitting next to the father the same status. He didn't want to say, the kid doesn't count. I mean, that's not nice either. So I'm not sure what he meant. My question is, Mimashu inchi brashlicha b'makam abba olo. In a case like this, would the person have in mind to be talking to the child of a man and give him the same status as the father, or would that be really inappropriate? And maybe he didn't mean that the child should be a shliach. Only the father and the third person should be the shliach. So Reb Nachman says, 100% not. It would not be a standard way of doing things to make a child a shliach while the father is there. Whereas Reb Papi, he says, Mashwin is bra shlicha b'mokam abba. Why not? Omar Rava, hilchata. The halacha is, why not? Mashu inish brosh licha b'makam abba, in which case the remaining two people, the son and the third person, can write the get, and we don't need a new minui of the shlichut. I'm telling you, for Richie to have missed a day like this, one Mishnah after another, heartbreaking. Zog ter helike Mishnah. I should actually call Richie myself, give him a piece of my mind. All right.
Maybe yesterday was too much for
him. Yeah.
He got scared off.
A triathlon is no good. What do they call the next one? Let me tell you. Whew. Yeah. And the truth is, Richie on Friday goes out shopping for Shabbos, but I can't believe he went out that early shopping for Shabbos. Terrible. I was going to ring him. I don't see right now the number coming up. Okay. What can you do? Zokta Heilige Mishnah. So, our next question. There are two different ways to appoint agents. You can have a court as an agent, and then it acts as a court, or you could have individuals as an agent. There's a big difference between them, because the court is empowered to appoint agents on their own, to define how the get is going to be written, and to call a particular sofer to do it, even though the husband never said to do that. But that's what it means when you give something over to a court. Now, the question is, how about if you tell the court to write the get instead of just saying, give a get to my wife? Now, that implies that you don't want to empower them as a court. You want them to be the ones personally involved in giving the get. So now it's very interesting that there would be very different interpretations of the same words when they're said to just two people or when they're said to three people. So let's talk about a case where a guy says to two people, give a get to my wife, right? So in that case, he didn't say beferish, you write the get. He just said, give the get. But there's a machlokas about whether they are allowed to appoint anybody else to do this. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, as we're going to see, the person himself would have to actually sign the get. Because if you don't give them the right to transfer it, for some reason, they can't give it to someone else to do. Now, we're going to see that there's two possible reasons for this. One is the general rule, which Gavi will write down, if he can put down his sponge rag for a minute, for God's sake, and that is called mili lo mimsaran lishliach, that you cannot give over words. You can only give over something to do. So it has to be an objective object that is doable, an act that's doable. But to say something, you were told to write a get. So even though we learn from a pasuk, a shliach, and make a shliach, but there's got to be a specific thing. And therefore, just words. I didn't give you a shliach to now take my words and go to a sofer and tell the sofer you write the get. Then that's never a shlichut to write the get. And therefore, it was written shelo lishma, because the husband would never was mitzvah. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that when a person indicates that he wants someone to write a get for his wife, then he specifically wants to avoid, if you recall, we had before, the embarrassment of people knowing that he doesn't know how to write his own get. So because of that, there's a guy that, you know I'm an idiot. I don't really know much. So could you do me a favor and write the get for my wife? But he doesn't want it known that he's got to run around and find some professional to do something that he ought to be able to do on his own. So that was the other thing that we discussed earlier. So we'll get back into this, these possibilities in a moment. So in the case where he told two people, or he told three people to write, which he didn't have to say. If he would have told three people, give a get to my wife, that would have empowered them as a bezdin. Then, as a bezdin, they certainly could have appointed a sofer or do whatever they wanted, a sofer, a shliach, whatever they wanted to do, they could have done. But here, he didn't say, give a get to my wife. He said, write a get to my wife. So then, by saying that unusual language, he wants them to write the get. Now, remember, what do we mean by writing the get? That's a whole different issue. Because remember that according to the way Rabbi Meir understood things, the fact that the Torah says lishma, that the ksiva needs to be lishma, it only meant that the chatima needed to be lishma. because if you hold Ere Chatima Karte. So the fact that somebody says write does not necessarily mean write the words of the get. We've got these three issues over here. We have the tofus of the get, which could be written by a computer. We have the toref of the get, which needs to be written lishma. And then we have the chatima of the get, which according to Rabbi Meir needs to be written lishma. And only that is what needs to be written lishma. So, according to Rabbi Lazar, the actual ksiva of the get needs to be written lishma. When he said to write, we've got a little bit of dealings to take care of before we know what this means. Here it says in the Mishnah, since he told three people to write, which he shouldn't have needed to say, because he said give a get, and then they would take care of it as a bezdin. So if he said write, then they're going to have to write it themselves, whatever writing that means. Maybe it just means signing it. I don't know. We'll talk about that separately. But if he said to three people, get a get to my wife, then he made them a bezdin. In which case, they can tell other people, and they could be bitzava sofer, and so on. Why? By talking to three people, he didn't tell them to write, he just said, get this get to my wife. So therefore, asa an beit din, so says Rabbi Meir. And actually, this was the halacha. Remember, Rabbi Chanina went to talk to Rabbi Akiva while he was in the jail by the Romans that were planning on killing him. And there were questions that he raised to the window and so on. One of the things that Rabbi Chanina brought back with him from the Beit HaAsirim, from Rabbi Akiva's prison sentence, that Mekubal ani, ba'omer l'shlosha, tnu get li ishti, she'amru l'achirim yichtavu mipnei she'asan beitin. This is one of the things that Rabbi Akiva said he had as a Kabbalah, and therefore we could rely on this. Not a problem. Omer Rabbi Yossi, well, I want to tell you what we said to the Holy Messenger, meaning Rabbi Chanina. We said to him, af anu mekubalim, we also have a Kabbalah, namely, that afilu amar lebeit en agadol shebi Yerushalayim, tnu get li ishti, that even if you would say to like the most powerful bezdin, you're saying anybody who says to three people, any three people, he makes them a bezdin. And we have a Kabbalah that even if you went up to the bezdin agadol in Yerushalayim and you said the words, tnu get li ishti, it means that they have to write it themselves. And if they don't know how to write, let them learn how to write. Yilmadu, v'yichtavu, v'yitnu. And you cannot have them go ahead and tell somebody else to write it. All right, so now we'll discuss this in the Gemara. But a court cannot actually appoint someone to write lishma. Only the Baal can write lishma. Fine? Now, how about if you tell 10 people, you guys write and give a get to my wife? That doesn't mean that all 10 people have to write it. It means any one of the 10 can write the get. Any two of the 10 can sign the get. But if he says, kulchem kotvu, all 10 of you have to write that get to my wife, even though one can write the get, but all must sign the get. And remember, that was the takana that we had. You can't sign unless you're together with all of them, because otherwise the woman may not realize that it's missing one signature. She sees three signatures. That's great. But it's not great. So if one of them had died in this case, there'd be no way for this get ever to be kosher, and it would be imet echad meyam areze get batel. So now the question is, we never really determined what was meant by the words, they should write the get themselves. What does it mean when you say they should write the get? Does it mean to sign the get, or does it mean to actually write the words of the get, the Torah of the get? On Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, when the Talmidim of Rav, or Mesopek, after the death of Rav, they sent a shaila to Shmua. Yelamdenu Rabbeinu. Can you tell us what the halacha would be if Amar l'shnayim, kitvu utnu, get li'ishti. So a guy says to two people, you write and give. And those two people, they go, and they told a sofer, that sofer wrote it, and they signed it. So now the question is, mahu, is it mean when he said kitvu, that they sign? Or were they the ones that had to actually write the get themselves? So there's a number of questions, as we mentioned before. Can you give over a tzivut to the sofer? Were you meant to be allowed to give over the tzivut to the sofer? These are things that we're going to be talking about when we hear what Shmuel wrote back. So Shmuel wrote back to them, look, if she got married based on this get to another guy, and it turns out that they had said to a sofer, they didn't write it themselves, she's got to get divorced. So she should be yotze. But I'm not saying this absolutely. I'm going to have to find out more about this. They'd say, but adavar tzarich talmud. I need to find out what the halacha is. Which part? I understand. What is Shmuel not sure about when he said hadavar tzarich talmud? Is it because he doesn't know what the din is about what Gavi just wrote down? Mile lo mimsra mashliach. So is he misupik about that? About the general klal, about whether if you have a shliach that was appointed to do something, can he give that over to someone else to do it when it really consists of words? So he's going to go tell the sofer, you write the get, because the husband told me to write the get. I mean, can you give over words? I understand you can hand over a get and say, the husband asked me to deliver this get. I'm asking you to deliver this get. Yes, that we learned from a shilach v'shilcha. A shliach can hand it over to another shliach halacha. But can you hand over words? Maybe that's what he wasn't sure about. That can't be true. Because we know that Shmuel Paskin. Omar Shmuel. Omar Rebbe. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi Paskin. Mili lo mimsaran l'shliach. So he certainly knew that it would be puzzle if a sofer wrote it and the Baal didn't mean for the sofer to write it. So that can't be what the problem is. So what was the problem? The problem was when they were told to write it, did it actually mean that they have to write it? Haiketovo, does it mean they have to write it, meaning they're John Hancock? That's what it means. Put your signature on it. Does it mean Ktav Yadam? Or does it mean the actual Ktav Haget? How is that a question? Doesn't Shmuel know the Mishnah? We just had the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Tiv shalai b'matnitin, amar lishnayim, tnu get li ishti, o lishlosha, kitvu getu tnu li ishti, hare elo yichtevu yitnu. They have to write the get on their own. They can't tell somebody else to do it. So obviously it means to write the get. No, actually not. Shmuel wasn't even sure how to read the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah means write in the sense of putting your John Hancock on it. So it just means you have to write your signature. That's ridiculous. What do you mean write your signature? Obviously, if you look at the Mishnah, it's clear that it means the get, not the signature. Look at the rest of the Mishnah. Pshita diktava getu, diktani seifa, Amar Rabbi Yossi. We said to the Holy Messenger, to Rabbi Chanina, afanu mekubalim. That means they're going to have to learn how to write themselves. Now, come on. What does it mean? The Beit Din HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim is going to have to learn how to sign their names. That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, it means that if they're not sofrim, they're not used to writing a get, they're going to have to learn how to write properly. Like a proper sofer. That's all that it means. It can't possibly mean they don't know how to write their signature. So, iyamet bishlama ktava get. Okay, ktava get shaper. You could say they have to learn. But iyamet ktava yadan? Miika beidina de lo yadim ichtav chatimat yadayu? You're talking about a bezdin that doesn't know how to sign their names? I mean, that's what they do half of the day. They're putting their names onto the psak bezdin. Ploni va ploni dayan and so on. So how could they not know how to sign their names? Look, at one point in life, everybody has to learn something. And as Akiva remembers, as PK was told, there's always a point where somebody's going to be teaching you something, and that doesn't mean you're a dummkopf. Fine. So maybe this was a bezdin that was just appointed. They've never signed their name. I don't know. So, I mean, it's certainly a possibility, isn't it? So Shmuel was Mr. Park. Does it mean they have to affix their John Hancock? Or does it literally mean they have to write the get? Okay. Let's say let's say that Shmuel isn't clear. So let's assume for a moment, okay, that it means that they should write their signatures, right? But the get would be kosher, even if what? Even if what? Tell me. Even if the shliach went and asked the sofer to write the get for him? That's what you're saying? That's ridiculous also, because Shmuel himself also paskins like Rebbe, who says the halacha is like Rebbe Yossi, as we said, mili lo mimsron l'shliach. So I don't understand. You haven't helped anything along over here. I asked you what Shmuel's problem. Do you think Shmuel's problem is whether mili is mimsron? No. We know mili's not mimsron. So you give me the ridiculous answer that actually Shmuel's problem was whether they have to write the get or whether they just have to sign it. Okay, but who the heck's supposed to write it, for heaven's sake? If the shliach doesn't write it, and Shmuel paskins, the shliach cannot tell the sofer to write it, so who wrote it? So anyway, the Mishnah would make no sense. According to Shmuel, it's ridiculous. He paskins like Rabbi Yossi, the mili lo mimsron l'shliach. So why would Shmuel have thought that in this case, it should be okay, because after all, the sofer wrote it, and they signed it, and they were only told to sign it, maybe. Yeah, great, but there's no kosher get that was written in Shema. Says the Gemara, hold on. If, this is what we were thinking, if the words ktovu actually means affix your John Hancock, right? So then, what is he telling them to do about the get? I mean, this is, you know, he's not insane. So what is he saying to them? He's saying to them, I want you to sign on this get. What get? Obviously the get that you will go and have written for me. So then it's as if he told the shliach, get the get done with a sofer, and then you be the one who signs it, right? So then it's the, as vis-a-vis the ktav ha-get, it's as if he said befeirush to his shliach, Naase ka'omer imru, and Rabbi Yossi is moda ba'omer imru. Mili lo mimsur l'shliach means that the job is not able to be given over by the shliach to someone else. Only a particular thing can be given over. But if I told you to do a particular thing, namely, say to the sofer in my name, to write a get. Of course you can do that. Why wouldn't you? What, all of a sudden, Shlucho Shalom is Eino Kamoso? You're saying in my name to the sofer that he should write the get. Well, why would I have to personally tell the sofer? So according to Rabbi Yossi, that Mili lo mimsur l'shliach, that doesn't mean literally words can't be given over. It means that the words that appointed you to the job can't be given over. But if the job is to say the words, then of course you could say the words. So therefore, since in this case, if the words ktovu only meant sign, so then it's clear that the man is telling them, get a get written by a sofer, knows what he's doing, and sign it. Fine. So then when they said to the sofer, so then that would be, Rabbi Yossi would be fine, even though he paskins like Rabbi Yossi, since he said Imru. In this case, they don't have to write the get themselves. The sofer writes the get. They sign it, but Shmuel's not sure that that's what it meant. Maybe they were supposed to sign. I don't know. Okay. Says the Gemara, excuse me. You're claiming that Rabbi Yossi admits that in a case where you said to say the words, then a shliach could say the words, and there's no problem. Amila lo mimsron l'shliach, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi. That's what you're saying. It's not true. Absolutely not true. Mi moda Rabbi Yossi be'omer imru. We know that the Mishnah later on says, if you have a get that was written by the sofer and signed by one witness, that is a kosher get. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah explained that as meaning that when it says that we have the ktav sofer, it doesn't mean that we can identify who the sofer was by his handwriting in the get. It means if the chatam sofer, the sofer signed the get, he is allowed to sign a get along with the other aid. That's all that it means. And that's exactly what happened. He signed the get together with the other aid. Well, it's like this. You might think that the sofer himself cannot be an aid. He can be an aid. And that is the meaning, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, of what the Mishnah was saying, that we have the Chatima of the Sofer. Now, Rav Chisda said that that means that the Mishnah would be going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Mili lo Mimsran l'shliach. Now, gentlemen, this is a bit complex reasoning, but you have to just hold copier for a minute, because on the surface, Rabbi Yossi and Mili has nothing to do with the question of whether a sofer signed. I mean, how in the world did that happen? So it turns out, gentlemen, that there is a hidden issue, which we'll be getting to in a moment, but which nothing makes sense until you understand the hidden issue. Why would a sofer not be allowed to sign again? I'll tell you why. If a husband said to someone, have the such and such a sofer, write a get, and then you and this other guy sign. That's the case that we're talking about, right? Now, the guy goes in, tells the sofer to write the get. Then it comes time to sign the get. And now, this guy is feeling very embarrassed. He's going to tell the sofer, okay, could you give me the get, and we'll take care of the signature. And the sofer will say, it's fine, I'll sign it, you could just sign it now. Then what's he going to say? Well, actually, the guy didn't trust you to be an aide. The guy wanted somebody else to be the aide. He's very embarrassed to do that. So he doesn't say anything, and he lets the sofer sign. Now, that sofer had no right to sign, because the Baal had said that he wants these particular other two people to sign. The guy walks out with the get. The other person doesn't sign. The wife receives the get, thinks it's a kosher get, and it's not a kosher get. Now, these types of awkward situations, it's an awkward situation. What am I going to tell a sofer? You can't sign. Yeah, sure. Go ahead and sign. I can't. Okay. So then what would have been the din? Obviously, the Chachamim would have made a takana. A sofer can never sign again. That way we don't come up with awkward situations and where someone was appointed to make the get the get done. This will never happen. Obviously, there is no such takana. Why not? It says in the Mishnah that Chatam Sofer, if the Sofer actually signed on the get, then it would be a kosher edus. Now, how could it be that there would be no such problem? Isn't it a very serious problem that you get into this awkward situation? But if a sofer could never write a get because someone told him to, a sofer is only allowed to write the get when the husband tells, that's Rabbi Yossi, who holds Mili lo Mimsra Mashliach, no sofer will ever sign a get without a takana. Excuse me, I should sign the get when I hear from the husband that I should sign the get. I'll sign the get. The same way when I hear from the husband, I should write the get. I'll write the get. What do you think I am? Some kind of stupid Amoritz? I'm a professional sofer. Therefore, comes along Rav Chisda and says, ha, 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 this Mishnah would only work out a Libet Rav Yossi, in which case no sofer would ever do such a thing, right? And therefore, we didn't have to make a takana that a sofer is not allowed to sign. Now, here's my point. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yossi also allows us, a person who's a shliach, to say, you sign. Oh, why? Because he said you should sign. The awkward situation is going to come up even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, we need to make a takana, don't we? Sofer never signs, period. Because otherwise, if the sofer says, so should I sign? Yeah, of course. It's still going to be awkward because the shliach was empowered to say sign. So let's see that inside. It's a beautiful analysis, right? So Isaac, if you're going to try to tell me that Rabbi Yossi is Meida, that if the Baal had said, tell the guy to write or tell the guy to sign and get that would be okay, this is a catastrophe. Nofik mina churva. A woman's going to take a get signed by a sofer, thinking that because of the awkward situation in which the shliach, sure, you could sign, And the sofer thought that that meant that he was empowered to say, sure, you could sign, which he wasn't, but he was just feeling too awkward about it. So then we're going to end up with catastrophic situations. Namely, Zimnim Darmer Lo Lashleim, imagine a very typical case where a guy says to two people, tell the sofer to write a get, and then tell these two other people to sign the get. And then this guy feels very awkward, Mishum Kisuf for the sofer, because he's afraid of Mamish embarrassing the sofer. Sorry, but you can't sign. What do you mean I can't sign? The guy didn't say you can sign. What am I, chopped liver? So because of this, Mishum Kisufa, they will be chayish, and they'll say, yeah, of course, you sign. And then one of those people will sign together with the sofer, which means that the get is possible. Balo Amar Hachi, the husband never said that you could do such a thing. So the get is possible. And therefore, it's clear that Rabbi Yossi would never allow such a thing to happen if, in fact, Imru Emor, Amor Imro would have actually been mutter. So it's more, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because remember that Kivan, the Omar Mar, it's actually, we're going to see, Rav says later, that if you do that, you tell us Shliach, you tell the person and let him write it. If he did it, says Rav, it's kosher. But Chas v'chalila, Lo te'asekein b'Yisrael. People should never do this kind of thing, and we'll see why not. So because he said it would be kosher, but don't ever do it, how often is such a thing going to happen that somebody's going to be stupid enough to do a procedure that Rav said, chas v'sholem, such a thing should happen in Klal Yisrael? It's not going to happen. So because of that, we did not need to make a takana that a sofer cannot sign. So this does not necessarily prove anything. We're going to still be involved in the convoluted reasoning of this case as we go on, Bezrat Hashem, on Ritzoy Shabbos, if we are zocha to be together, and it should be at a time of Eliyahu Navi. It's wonderful, as always, to be with you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful Besuras Tevas, and all types of Yeshua's over Shabbos. Kol Tov. Looking forward.